when a pastor, if you watch them on TV or you've gone to church, they like to start off their sermon by telling a story or a joke, and sometimes that story or joke has absolutely nothing to do with their sermon. They just kind of do it to get the audience to laugh a little bit, or they want to warm up a little bit. They want to engage with folks a little bit. Well, today I want to share a story, and I want to frame where I'm headed today, not with just some random joke or story, but it's something that fits and tracks exactly with where I'm heading in the core value of breaking down anything that causes us to divide in our lives, whether it's race, culture, or class, or ethnicity, or anything. So here's my story. This, again, is a good track where we're headed with our core value today in reconciling community. For those of you who are blog subscribers to me, you will have heard this story. I blogged about it a few days ago. My blog address, which I would love for you guys to read and subscribe, dancop.wordpress.com. I'm going to share a story that I blogged about this past Tuesday night. What happened? I lead a men's small group, a theology small group, and there's several guys in the room who are part of that. We meet usually in the mornings on a Saturday at Panera Bread, and we do deep dive, talk about all different topics of just how to harmonize gray areas of Scripture and how to just struggle with and seek truth, be seekers of truth. But our small groups don't simply meet to grow in a spiritual fashion. We say we gather and we scatter. We gather to grow spiritually. We scatter to serve the poor. So our men's group decided to serve at Central Detroit Christian, which is also known as CDC, about once a month or so. They are down in one of the bad parts of the D. If you shoot down I-75 exit at Kniff, it's right around there. And every Tuesday night, this group has something called Breakthrough Enrichment. And it's for elementary age kids. About 60 to 80 kids show up every Tuesday night from the neighborhoods. They get actually like vanned in, which is really cool. They are fed a hot meal, and then they go through a rotation where they go around the room or around the building, which happens to be partnering with the Catholic Church, which I think is pretty cool because it's like breaking down a barrier, again, between denominations. So this Catholic Church allows this Protestant organization to use their facility, and they eat a meal, and then they travel around and learn about topics that enhance what they learn in school. And so around 5:15, I hopped in my PT Cruiser, which, by the way, Faith, our four-year-old, if you read on Facebook, she called it a TP Cruiser this week. Just, Daddy, are you taking the TP Cruiser? Like, yes, baby. So I hopped in my PT Cruiser, left my suburban comfort zone, drove over to Chris Gortat. I just saw you, Chris. Where are you? Wave. Okay. It's so bright here. So I hop into his ride, and we drive down to the D. And it was my first time there. Walked in the building, did not know what to expect. So walked in, and actually the very first thing we walk into, we're in this gymnasium, and there's all these elementary kids, like dozens and dozens, just like running around and being kids and burn off amazing amounts of energy. And I immediately found Jack Malloy, who went in our group. He's doing tech today. I'm like, okay, fellow Jack, small group, let's talk about things going on. And I'm serious, like, kind of find a wall. I felt like I was back in junior high at, like, my first dance, you know? Like, find a wall. Kind of, because it was just, like, overload. Like, what do I do with all these kids, you know? And I'm not sure they knew what to do with me. So I stood there very uncomfortable, honestly. And so I'm like, okay. The program starts officially, and they say, okay, let's head downstairs and let's start to eat. And I'm thinking, okay, it has to be better than what I just experienced because now there's some order. But then I got more scared because now I realized I can't just simply stand against the wall. I need to engage. I'm here to engage with these kids. And so now they're in round tables and each grade is in a table. And I did not need to pray about it to have God say, stay away from the fourth graders and the fifth graders and the sixth graders. I use discernment. It's a spiritual gift of mine. And like, okay, I can handle. I'm not kidding, at the kindergarten table. And then I decided to be bold. I went to the second graders. And like, I can handle them. They're like six or seven. I can do this. It's four girls, one boy, a volunteer named Allie, and me. So I sat down at her table. And it was interesting because here comes this tall white guy coming in, and they didn't really know what to do with me. I sat with them, but they were kind of eating their meal. And there was a barrier. And we go to the library for library time, and again, there's a barrier. And I'm literally standing, and there's a teacher teaching them about polygons, this really cool story set to like Ice Baby with learning the different polygons, you know, hepta, hecta. I'm like, that's heptagon, you know, but I'm standing there, and I'm not engaging with these kids, and I'm just like, I just like pray to half prayer. God, I'm here not to stand against the wall. I'm here to engage. I don't know what to do. I've never done this. So God has a way of answering those types of prayers. So we rotate through, and now we're in Bible time. So we learned about our polygons. I learned some things. We go to Bible time in a different part of the building, and the teacher starts teaching about the ark and the flood and just walking people through that story, and she did an amazing job. And then it was time to color, and I'm like, okay, here's the time to engage, because we have community crayons. So we all got this sheet. This is actually mine. I saved it of the ark. I'm very proud of it. Here's my polygons. I was quizzing. But anyway, so here's what happened. I'm praying, God, break down a barrier. Show me what to do. I don't know how to do this. This is out of my comfort zone. And so there's a boy, Adrian, who's to my right, Nathaniel's to my left, and I noticed at one point as we're coloring, I'm like, hey, can I have that blue crayon, you know, trying to engage these kids, and we start to dialogue. Hey, can I borrow that red crayon? Hey, that's a really cool-looking rainbow. Hey, tell me what your color, like the ark, you know, or the bird or the flower, and we're just forcing conversation. But it's amazing what happens when you just take a step. I noticed, and it was like this moment where I'm coloring, and I felt at this point an arm, like touching my arm as this kid's coloring Adrian's coloring, and I'm kind of like, whoa, like, did I do that? Did I bump into him? I don't want to, like, you know. So I moved away, and then it was like God saying, he did that. You didn't, you stayed put. And I saw his, like, chair just kind of, like, do, like, the chair noise, you know. He's like coming up next to me, and it's like this really cool moment. And so Adrian, we just like, I stayed put, and like his arm's touching my arm, his shoulder's touching my shoulder, and we're just kind of like, there's no space between us, and we're coloring and just kind of having conversation and sharing crayons and comparing rainbows. Mine was a lot better than his, by the way. I made sure he knew that. But we're just talking through, and then I started drawing polygons. Hey, we just went to polygon. Do you remember what seven sides, what's that? It's a hepta, you know, heptagon or hexagon. And we're talking these through, and I started just wondering. I'm like, I wonder if this kid has a daddy at home. I don't know. But I wonder if he has a daddy home. I wonder when the last time, regardless of if he has a daddy or he doesn't have a daddy, when was the last time that he experienced safe touch from an adult male? This kid, he was obviously craving it. I'm a stranger, and he's just bumped up against me. Didn't want the time to end, but we went to the next part of our rotation. That was called the creative arts time, which is a code word for mass pandemonium. We're back in the gym now, and they're teaching the kids how to do, like, flips. And these little kids, I don't know how they do, we're, like, doing, like, tumbles. And the girls are, like, learning to dance, and they're just kind of doing this stuff. And again, I'm like, I'm back at, like, the first dance at the junior high, like, find the wall, because they were just going nuts. Well, and I literally just stood back, and I'm like, I don't know what to do again. I don't know what to do. So, God, help me. That was a cool barrier. God, help me. Well, I don't know if it was Adrian or Nathaniel, but one of them grabs my hands. They're like, hey, can I do what do you think I'm going to do? And I'm like, oh, you want to kind of climb up? Because he has hands. You want to kind of climb up me and kind of do like the flip thing? Yeah. So I'm like, okay, dear Jesus, hold on to this kid's hands. First time here. I don't, you know. So I hold on to his hands and just hold on. And he walks up me and flips him over. As soon as that happened, I was like the most popular adult in the room. There was like a half a dozen, hey, me next. They're kind of like, oh, hold on. And so I, like, my knees been aching. So I'm like, dear Lord Jesus, you know, these kids. Well, at the same time, I'm having a flashback where Kelly, I was going to wear something like this type of a shirt. Kelly's like, you know, you might want to just put on like a sweatshirt or something. I had like second grade footprints up my chest. But it was an awesome moment, and I just got tears in my eyes. I got choked up just, again, loving on these kids in a safe way, being an adult, being a male, where, again, some of them probably don't have one at home, and just enjoying that moment. So, again, just don't want it to end. Tears in my eyes. I'm just like, man, this is amazing. I'm volunteering, I'm serving, but I'm getting so much more. These kids are getting something, but I'm getting so much more. That's the way God does stuff, you know. And so now it's 8 o'clock, and it's like time to go. And so we go back to the just the way they work. They want to make sure all the kids get on the right vans. And so you go back to where we began, which was at the same table where we ate our dinner 2 hours earlier. 2 hours earlier, I'm this tall white boy stranger, kind of standoffish. And now this is the coolest thing. Adrian, right, pulls up two chairs, and he says, I want Mr. Dan to sit next to me. And I'm like, all right, buddy. So he's on my left now. Nathaniel's on my right. And I'm just kind of sitting there, and we're waiting to be dismissed. And all of a sudden, I feel this thumbprint kind of embedding in my sweater. And Nathaniel, I saved it, gave me a sticker of a smiley face. He just went like, just kept pushing it like there. And didn't have to say it, but that was his way of saying thanks. Thanks for coming. Hope you come back. That's what I kind of got from the sticker. I saved it, and I plan to be back in a couple weeks. And just wanted to share that experience on Tuesday night, you know, that I could have sat watching TV that night. I could have just chilled out. We've been overloaded with church stuff, but just feeling as a small group and wanting to do what our church does is put our faith in action. And by the way, I got a little bit choked up. If you got a little bit choked up, if there was this nudge from the Holy Spirit just prompting you, CDC needs a lot of volunteers. We have a slide that has their information if you want to write down centraldetroitchristian.org, the phone number. You have to go for a training to learn how to do things right, but just call them up. Tony is one of the coordinators there, but just shoot them an email or go on their website, contact information, and volunteer, because these kids, this is the next, I mean, it's just so hurting and broken, the generation, and we can do something about that. And so, and again, that's not just some random story. That was its story tied in with the core value today we're looking at. So I wanted to frame it and have you thinking through, what barriers do I have in my life right now that Jesus wants to break down? It could be a color barrier. It could be an age barrier. It could be a class barrier, a social barrier, a cultural barrier, whatever it is that God will bring to mind what we need to break down. That's the core value. In the Vineyard, every Sunday we teach the Bible. We open up the scriptures. We don't do anything super fancy. We just open up the Word of God and say, okay, God, this is true. Pierce us with your Word. Speak to us with your Word, and we'll see where we're going to go. So we decided to hit the pause button on the series we've been doing in Matthew, going through it story by story. We're going to pick it up in a couple weeks. And again, we're going through our five core values. Our five core values in the Vineyard will be on the screen here. We've gone through two of them so far. If you're in the Vineyard, if you're part of the association, there are five core values, which will be on the screen. Yes. Sorry. There are five of them, and we're in the one of reconciling community today. And so, by the way, good news, as we dive into this, I've teased a few weeks the core value books. We have them in. They're at the Welcome Center. You can grab one, read about the core values, read about Statement of Faith, and read them in their entirety. I'm going to read you, and this is free, I'm going to read you an excerpt from this core value, what it means, what we're called to be. And again, this doesn't matter if you go to our church or any church. This is a core value if you're a Christian, I believe, of bringing together and breaking down barriers. Here we go. Jesus is reconciling people to God, to each other, and to the entire creation. He breaks down divisions between Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female. Therefore, in the Vineyard, churches are committed to being communities of healing, engaged in the work of reconciliation wherever sin and evil hold sway. We must, keyword, actively work to break down barriers of race, culture, gender, social class, and ethnicity. So that's, again, just an excerpt from the core value, where we're going to focus on today, where we're going to focus on in the Bible and say, okay, Jesus, as your follower, if you are a follower today of Christ, you believe in him. This is what he calls us to do. This is what he did, and he calls us to do what he did. So I'm going to unpack this core value by beginning by asking a question. Actually, before that, let me pray. Just want to just hit the pause button. I want to close your eyes and let me pray. Commit this time to Jesus. Father God, thanks for this day. Thank you for Adrian and Nathaniel. Thank you for Central Detroit Christian. Thank you for breaking my heart for something that broke yours. And I just pray you fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray for a gift of teaching right now. I pray you remove barriers from people in their minds, whatever they were going through. Maybe they had tears this morning for something they're struggling with. God, remove those tears, remove those blocks from their mind so they would be able to track with what you want us to learn today. I pray, Holy Spirit, ultimately, that you are our teacher. Use me, God, to speak your truth. Thanks, Jesus. Amen. All right. So I want to begin by asking you a question. And if you're born and raised in the church like I was in the Catholic Church, if I ask this question and you're a church-going kind of person, you'll probably have an answer to it. If not, you'll learn, just process with us. But if I ask you this question, if I said, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, what happened in a theological sense? What actually happened? The answer that would probably come up if you were born and raised going to church would be, well, he died on the cross for my sins. All of the thoughts, all of the words, all the actions that do not honor God, Jesus took them upon himself, died for them. We were, our just God and us, we were broken in relationship, and Jesus bridged that. And we need to respond to that and follow Jesus into that truth. And if you answer that way, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, you would be absolutely right. But I want to hit on another angle of the cross, because when we think of Jesus on the cross, that is like the turning point, the ultimate event in the history of humanity. And so many things were accomplished on the cross. One of the things that was accomplished on the cross that we often don't process through, but it's right in the Bible, is that not only did Jesus create the possibility to have a relationship with God again, to bridge that gap, to bring us to God once again, in a vertical sense, Jesus also made it possible in a horizontal sense for our relationships with one another to be repaired as well. Jesus' death on the cross did much more than just die for our sins. He did that, but much more. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 15 to 18, here's what the text says. Jesus made peace between Jews and Gentiles, creating himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ, what did he do? He reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news, which again means gospel. We talked about that a week ago. He brought this gospel, this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, peace to the Jews who were near. Now, all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So this ties in right with our core value. What did Jesus do on the cross? What was accomplished on the cross? One of the things that was accomplished on the cross was bringing together, breaking down barriers that have existed between people. And I read those verses, Ephesians. It is like you have to have your thought process tracking. If you didn't have coffee this morning, you probably would have missed half of what I said. It's a dense chapter. So I want to focus on just the first verse because this kind of gives a summary of the passage I just read. It says, Jesus made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating himself one new people from the two groups. And really the first few words, Jesus made peace. Peace between Jews and Gentiles. Now you need to understand, again, that's a word we don't use, Gentiles. So let me explain what that means and give you some context about how amazing that truth is. If you broke down every people group on the planet, people like they're in categories and all the different ways depending on how you vote and what your skin color is and just what you believe in your culture. But in reality, there's really three groups you could lump people into. You could be a Jew, a Gentile, or a Samaritan. A Jew would be 100% Jewish. A Gentile would be 100% non-Jewish, and a Samaritan is a mixture of the two, where if you have a Gentile mom, a Jewish dad, that type of thing. So, for example, I am a Gentile. I like to call myself a European mutt because it's like Swiss, German, French, Polish. I can polka, by the way, and that, love that. And so I'm a Gentile. Now, we need to understand, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus walked the earth, Jews hated Gentiles. Not an overstatement. Gentiles hated Jews. It wasn't like a mild, oh, I just can't stand hate. I would kill you if I could and get away with it. Hate. So help you understand and just frame to apply it, because even if I say that Jews hate Gentiles, you're like, okay, yeah, but you don't get it. So if we fast forward to our day, here's some examples that will frame for you when I say Jew and Gentile, what that means. Jews to Gentiles were like Al-Qaeda is to the United States. Terrorists, I'll kill you if I can. I hate you for killing us. So I'm going to try to kill you. Jews to Gentiles is like Protestants and Catholics in Ireland, right? How they feel about each other. Again, I'll kill you if I can. If I can't kill you, I'm going to hate you. Jews to Gentiles is like Spartan fan and Wolverine fan. You guys are like, I feel that. I understand that now. But it's true. I mean, they're not going to kill each other, but there's animosity, right? Jews to Gentiles is like how the PETA organization feels about Ted Nugent. So you got that. And they might want to try to kill Uncle Ted. But okay, but I digress. See, here's the point. Anger, hostility, hatred, barriers. But because of the cross, Jews and Gentiles were no longer enemies. The text says in verse 16, the hostility toward each other was put to death by means of the death on the cross. In fact, it's one new people group. Jew and Gentile, created himself, Jesus said, one new people from those two groups, part of the same family of God now. That led Paul to write this amazing statement in Galatians 3:28. He said, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or female, you're all one in Christ Jesus. That statement, there's no longer Jew or Gentile. I mean, think about that. An enemy, I will kill you if I have a chance, and if I can't, I'm going to hate you. Now we're brothers in Christ because Jesus brought us together. He broke down the wall that separated us. It's absolutely amazing. And that, the text says, happened because of the cross. One other aspect of our core value statement is this. It says, we are eager to pray for the coming of God's kingdom here and now to realize this mark of the kingdom in our midst. In other words, and we have it on the front of our program every week, we are called to join God in his work to make his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our purpose. That's why we exist. And so when you look at this language, praying for the coming of God's kingdom here and now, to realize this mark of the kingdom in our midst. The question is this. It's talking about heaven invading earth. So the question is this. As you process what is heaven, what barriers are in heaven? Just process through. What barriers do you think are in heaven between people with different skin color, culture, social class, race, age? We don't have to guess because actually the scriptures say that in Revelation 7, verse 9. The Apostle John writes, after this I looked and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne, before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. If we keep this text up here, there is no mention of any barrier. No mention, hey, if you're like a Protestant, you get like an off-white robe. Catholics get the white robes. Okay, if you're poor, go in the back. The rich people, prime seat up front. It's not there. If you're a female, go to the left, male to the right. Young folks, you're going to be rowdy anyway, get way back there. If you're in the elderly, please come forward. There's no division in heaven. No division, no barriers between people. That's a picture of heaven. And we are called to join God in his work to make that a reality now. Because what we do as human beings, we are great at creating a barrier. And they're so arbitrary at times. If you read about in Rwanda, the Hutus and the Tutsis, if you're Hotel Rwanda, completely arbitrary. And people were slaughtered, tribes were slaughtered. And it's completely arbitrary. And we do that because you have a little bit more pigment in your skin than I do. Or you're a little bit younger and you have your pants on the ground, like the song from America, right? I don't get that, by the way. Right, but in heaven, I'll have robes, so we're not going to have pants on the ground, right? Like those young, the youth, I can't stand the youth and the music. In heaven, we are one. There's no barriers. There's no division. So I wanted to give you some practical tips. This is one of those sermons that you're like, yeah, I kind of get that, But the issue is are you doing something about this one? And so I'm going to give you four steps. This is a journey for us. I'm going to give you four steps to take. And if you haven't taken any notes yet, please pull your program on the one side. There's a blank section to take notes. I would encourage you to just copy these four steps. They're very easy steps. It's a journey for us. Again, the language from our core value today is we must actively work to break down barriers of race and culture and gender and social class and ethnicity. You can add age, any other barrier that exists between you and someone else. And I'm going to give you steps. I'm going to pray because we believe that God speaks to us, that you're going to get an impression on your heart. You're going to know, you're going to have names pop in, people that you need to extend the olive branch to take a step to put your faith in action and show the love of Christ to someone that maybe you're not the biggest fan of on this planet. So I'm going to give you four steps, four easy steps. And the first two actually are very easy. Very easy. The first step is this, is to be honest. This is the way that I phrased it, is to be honest. And here's what I mean by that. Going back to the text today in Ephesians 2. It says, Jesus made peace between Jews and Gentiles, creating himself one new people from two groups, together as one body, not two bodies, one body, Christ he brought together, right? Both groups to God by means of his death. Our hostility toward each other was put to death. So this text is saying, because of the cross, there should be no barriers between us and anybody who's not like us. No barriers. Because if Jesus broke the barrier between the two classes of people that was the biggest barrier back then, whatever barriers, whatever animosity we feel towards anyone else who's not like us, saying, you know, follow, like if Jesus did that, if he made that possible, he made that bridge happen. Anything is possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. God can do amazing things. Trust that. So the first step is to realize, okay, this is the picture. Be honest. This is the picture. But if I'm honest, it's not true for any of us completely. So the first step to process through, and again, you can copy these down, is writing down and saying, okay, is there any animosity, any division, any barrier between me and anybody not like me in those categories? And again, from a race standpoint, that would be someone who maybe speaks the same language, they live in the same country, but they simply have a darker shade of skin or a lighter shade of skin, a little bit more pigment or less. That would be what race. Culture would be people who don't dress the same as you, maybe don't believe the same things as you, maybe don't vote the same way you, have a whole different value system than you. That's culture. And again, as I'm sharing this, I hope that a name is popping in your mind of someone who's like that in your life. Gender, you know this one? It's females and males, men and women. There's division there. Social class, rich and poor. Ethnicity, people who maybe have the same skin color as you, but they're not from the same country. They may not speak your language. Or maybe their skin color is a different shade as well. Age would be young and old. And so simply the first step is an easy one. Spending time with God this week and praying to God and saying, all right, God, Ephesians 2 is not completely true in my life. There are barriers. There's hostility. It hasn't been put to death completely in my life. God, just show me who these people groups are, who these classes of people are that I am not barrier-free towards, that I have animosity towards, that maybe if I see in heaven, I'm going to be kind of angry about, if I'm honest. And in this first step of being honest, maybe what you start to do in this same step is praying, asking God to change your heart towards that person, towards that people group. And never underestimate the power of prayer to transform your heart. So if you feel hatred, anger, rage, anything towards someone, say, no, Jesus, I'm not going to feel that in heaven towards this person. God, may heaven invade me right now. God, may your kingdom come right now between me and that person. May your will be done between me and that person so that we in heaven can stand side by side, dressed in the same color robe with the same palm branches, praising the same God. So the first step, it's an easy one. It's just between you and God. Now, you have to be honest, which sometimes isn't so easy. But that's the first step. Step two is pretty easy as well. Make a list. Make a list. What I mean in step one is more in categories. What categories of people do I not like? Am I not drawn to? Do I not enter into community with? Step two is to make a list now of particular people. Be specific. When you go home tonight, and maybe right now there's a name that's going to pop in of a person. It could be a neighbor, a coworker, it could be a family member, honestly. It could be someone here at the church. It could be someone that you exercise with at the gym, wherever that you encounter. Anyone that's not the same as you. Anyone that you feel some tension between you and them. Anyone that you personally tend to judge. Anyone maybe you feel awkward around. Anyone you may feel anger toward, maybe hatred towards, again, if you're honest. So you make a list as detailed as possible. Say, all right, God, I just want to spend some time making a list of names of people, not just groups of people, but specific names. Anybody in my circle or my influence that I know. So step one and two, very simple, because it's just you. But I'm not going to stop there, because we're called to be uncomfortable. Jesus, sometimes we're called to follow him, and to follow him sometimes means to be uncomfortable. Sometimes it means to be comfortable, but oftentimes what he calls us to, follow me. Follow me off your couch on a Tuesday night to CDC in the hood, in the D, and interact with kids you never would and show them my love. Sometimes he calls you that. So step three is this: be a blessing. Be a blessing. So here's how I do this one. And again, be very specific. This is like Rome is not built in a day. So if you have major animosity towards a people group, someone, don't think in like 3 days after one prayer, most likely it's not all just going to go away and you're going to be able to sing kumbaya with them. So think through in a bite-sized amount, what is one, and to be a blessing, this step, what I mean by this is what is one specific action I can take to break down a barrier between myself and one person on my list. Just one. It could be as simple as the ethnic family that everyone kind of avoids on your family street. Maybe you extend an invitation to them for dinner, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's simply stopping by and saying, hi, welcome to the neighborhood. Maybe if you have animosity between you and your parents, your grandparents, you don't have the best relationship, maybe you bless them by just hanging out today. Maybe it's the elderly person across the street needs a ride to the grocery store. Be a blessing. Show God's love in practical ways. Maybe you find someone at work, again, they're different than you, they have a different value system than you, and you ask them, you look in the eye and you say, how are you doing? And it's not the American version of that where you're lying because you don't care. Like, hey, what's up? How you doing? And you're like, I hope you don't actually answer me because I have like 4 seconds in this conversation. But you stop, you slow down. No, really, how are you? There's been power. People have done that to me. A supervisor, Dave at Kensington, he was my intern supervisor. David was awesome. One day he just tracked with me. He's like, hey, man, how you doing? I'm like, I'm good. And he stops, puts his hand on my shoulders. Now he's like, no, man, really, how are you doing? And he like locked with me. And it wasn't, I couldn't just say fine at that point. I had to engage with him because he sensed something was up. And we just went to Dairy Queen, had a blizzard. I'm like, man, I'm struggling with some stuff. Ask someone, maybe it's as easy as that. We all can do that. How are you? And track with them. Focus on them. But maybe it could also be a blessing to someone you don't know that's not on the list. It could be a blessing to Adrian or Nathaniel at CDC. It could be a blessing to someone that you are not like, they are not like you, but you need to bridge a barrier, even if it's uncomfortable. And to help you with this, we have created a handout called A List of Organizations Serving the Needy. I'm trying to find it here, but I don't know if I can, so I'll just mention it. It's at the Welcome Center. It's a two-sided list of about 8 organizations. There will be ways you can grab a copy, and it gives you contact information to be a blessing. Thanks, Dave. Yeah, here it is. So two-sided organizations that we've partnered with in the past. and simply a way to be a blessing. Serve the poor and the needy. We're called to do this. We're called to put our faith in action. And oftentimes in doing this, it's people that aren't like us. So do it. Be a blessing in a tangible way. Say, God, how can I be your hands, your feet, your mouth in a practical way? And my prayer as you do that is that walls are broken down. Even if you don't share a word as you're coloring a picture of Noah's Ark. That broken down. Step four. Step four is speak seven simple words. This is the title of the sermon, by the way. Seven simple words. You're probably wondering, what are the seven simple words? It's all on top of my program. In a moment, I'm going to give them to you, but don't put the slide up just yet, please. So the first three steps, be honest. Be honest with yourself. What barriers do you have in your life between you and other people who aren't like you? Make a list specifically of names and then be a blessing to one person. This final step, I believe, is the most important one. I believe it's the most powerful one. It's the one I think it has the most impact, and that's why I titled my sermon the way I did. Speak seven simple words. Here are the seven simple words. Can I pray for you right now? Can I pray for you right now? Nothing, I believe, on this earth breaks down barriers between people like prayer. See, when we pray, you pray for someone. Sometimes God shows up in an amazing way. We know he's everywhere, but sometimes just like you feel the presence of God in a way. And there's just, you feel all of a sudden love towards someone you didn't feel love towards before. God moves in you, breaks in. That's a miracle. And a mountain moves. Sometimes you may not see a mountain move, but we know that no prayer is wasted. The Bible teaches us that. So keeping in mind step one and step two, the list you've created, the people groups, the names of people, ask and pray God. And this is a dangerous prayer because he'll answer it. Sarah, God, on my list, give me one name, just one. Maybe it's the same one from step three. God, give me that name of someone that I can have the opportunity face to face to say, hey, can I pray for you right now? See, oftentimes in the American church, what we do when people ask for prayer, even here in the church, hey, okay, I'll pray for that. And you maybe get a post-it note and you decide, and you're going to do it later on for your quiet time the following morning. And sometimes if you're honest, you kind of forget to pray, you know. But someone's talked, say you have that family over for dinner. Say you get together with your parents or a friend or you see someone at work and you're like, hey, how you doing? And they bring up something. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit at that moment just reminds you. Say, hey, can I pray for you right now? And that might really freak somebody out. Like right now? Like right here? I want that to be so normal in our church. We just pray for people. Can I pray for you right now? Seven simple words. So you simply see a need, ask God for it, and if the opportunity presents itself, you take the person across the street, the shut-in, and they're shopping for groceries. Hey, how you doing? I don't know. It's kind of a tough time of the year right now. I mean, holiday times, by the way, worst time of the year for people alone. Can I pray for you right now? Maybe invite them over. Maybe in that prayer you decide, hey, I'm going to invite you over for Thanksgiving. I don't even know why I'm doing that. Maybe those words will come out of your mouth before you even realize what you did. But you do that. You simply ask God to give you an opportunity to use those words this week. Face to face, not over email, it's cop out. Face to face. Can I pray for you right now? Nothing breaks down barriers like prayer. Nothing. So ask God, and when you pray for someone, he gives you that opportunity. And by the way, if you're praying for it and it happens in like 10 days, don't beat yourself up. It's okay. The pastor told me 7 days. Make this part of just what you do. God, give me the opportunity to pray for someone. It doesn't have to be like you don't have to pray this, you know, oh Lord, heavenly, great, wonderful, and turn like become church language. Normal conversation to God. Just talk to God like I'm talking to you. And see what happens as a result. See what barriers break down between you and them, and maybe see what happens of a barrier that might break down between them and God. Because, man, this person prayed for me. And they really believed in that prayer thing. And maybe, crazy idea, God's going to answer that prayer. And that person who's far from God, hasn't gone to church in 10 years, your simple prayer, can I pray for you right now? We'll baptize them next summer. I'd be happy to. And if it all rooted and started with those seven simple words, can I pray for you right now? Just make that part of our language as a church. Can I pray for you right now? Can I pray for you right now? And see what God does. See how your heart changes towards the person. See how their heart might change towards God. See what barriers are broken down as a result. I didn't get an opportunity to pray for Adrian or Nathaniel this week, but I hope to. Maybe the next time I'm down there. It's steps, it's baby steps. It's entering and being willing to be uncomfortable, getting off the couch, and simply saying, God, here I am. Use me. Use me. Jesus, you broke down barrier between Jew and Gentile. So whatever barrier I have between me and anybody else is nothing compared to that one. Jesus, make it happen. That's my prayer for us. So let's, in that note, would you pray with me? Let's commit that time, commit that opportunity, commit that request to God. Jesus, I do pray, God, that we, each of us, uses seven simple words this week, that we reach across the aisle, that we extend a hand, that we find someone in our lives that we normally don't talk to, maybe we don't like all that much, that we are a blessing to them, that we show your love, God, in practical ways toward them with no strings, and that you would give us the opportunity to pray for them. And that when we pray for them, Jesus, may you melt our hearts towards that person we're praying for. May you put to death any hostility we feel towards that person, as your scripture said you did because of the cross. May you shatter barriers between us and people not like us. May heaven invade earth, so that any man-made barriers, at least in our church, stop existing. And God, may what we do and how we interact with people not like us be a contagion, be contagious to anyone who calls himself a follower of Christ outside of these walls, so that Jesus, heaven simply comes to earth. Make that happen by the power of your Holy Spirit this week. God, I can't wait to hear the stories of how you're going to answer this prayer. I know you will. May we be bold enough to pray it, and may we be bold enough to act when we get prompted, when we get that nudge, that still small voice from you. Here's the window. Can I pray for you right now? May we tune into your still small voice, and may we, as nervous as we are in that moment, say those words. And may you answer them in amazing ways, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.